Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucciola ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trevor. The former block off has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. Clausier is our broadcast engineer. Brian Hoffman is our executive producer. Got a good program lined up for you today. The one and only Earl Austin Jr. will join us at 10:30. At 11 o'clock, the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. Martin has the day off. Charlie will be in at 12. Like to be a part of the program?
Martin will be in at 12 as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Martin just has an appointment this morning that's keeping him from getting here at 11.
Gotcha.
Teeth cleaning.
Teeth cleaning?
Maybe that is
yeah.
it.
Or maybe there's a problem with his...
Backup camera?
Yeah, backup camera.
So. Maybe he's working out.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't take long. The six-minute workout. If you're just joining us, last Friday I got out of a spinning class with Monique. I see Martin for a split second. So I walk into the spinning class, and I said, hey, Monique, Martin's here. Let's go say hi. And we walk into the weight room, and he was gone.
Can you imagine? I should have asked Dr. Rick about that.
He starts his workout on lap one, and by lap three, he's already in a car.
You're right. That's about 6 minutes. That's a good way of putting it there, Plazzi. All right. Maryville University, listener line 855-282-8255. And I do want to say this about Maryville. They housed a sectional last night. And Maryville is so classy. Jim Powers, our good friend, he has an incredible spread. You guys ever had Jet's Pizza?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Pretty good stuff.
I like the how they cut it.
You know,
it's kind of
square.
Big squares. You can dip it in the marinara.
Ooh,
love that.
Good. And then they also had from noodles, buffalo chicken, macaroni and cheese.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Really good. So... you'd expect that from Maryville.
Well, I've had noodles before. That is good.
Yeah. Now, most of the stuff in noodles was kind of healthy and maybe not quite as high in taste. But that buffalo mac cheese.
But leave it to Jim Powers to find the...
Yeah.
Love you, Jim.
I'm shooting the game, and he all of a sudden I hear this whisper in my ear.
There's food in the back.
So I immediately left the game. So.
Was that you or your conscience, or Jim or your conscience speaking right there?
Excellent question. All right, our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, and let's begin with lap one. The Blues, the Ducks came in six games under 500 with no playoff hopes. The Blues have more than hope. They know with that front line intact, they can beat anybody, especially Nashville. But you got to start winning, two wins in your last six. And Braden Schenn has got to start playing. He did and made his presence felt in the first period of his first game back.
Petrangelo. Bozak in the slot. Tarasenko pulls the trigger and scores.
I think Schenn gets a touch on this.
Yes, he did get a touch on that. I think that was his 12th goal of the season. So it's late last night and it doesn't look good because... the Blues scored three consecutive goals, and then the Ducks scored three consecutive goals. And it's a 4-3 game. And then, in 12 seconds, the Blues scored two goals and walked away with 2 points.
It's Parayko. 6-on-5. Back to Parayko, shooting. One more rebound scores! Robert Thomas has tied it. Had not scored since January 10th. He double dips tonight, then. We're back to even, and here's Petrangelo scores!
I think just from a team's perspective, I think we need a better. That's how you score goals, right? You got to go to the net. Just a prime example of the game winning there. Petr shoots from the point, goes off the D-man's gate, and if you don't got guys going to the net, chances are that doesn't go in. So, like I said, it's nice to score some goals tonight and get some guys some bounces.
Yeah, you know, you're looking at the standings and you see Dallas just 1 point behind. You think the Blues are going to come away with 0 points. It's a sub-500 team. Those 12 seconds will loom large for the St. Louis Blues here in the 2018-2019 season. That was huge. And now you're playing this terrible Kings team tonight. Get up 4 points in 48 hours. I can't wait to talk to Chris Kerber at 11 o'clock. All right, lap two. The Billikens, senior night was a special night against Duquesne. The stars were out, too. Larry Hughes, Anthony Bonner, Chris Pronger, and Marcus Allen, the pride of O'Fallon, Illinois. Go figure. USC running back, a Raider legend, and he lives on the east side. What a fun freaking night of basketball, too. Now, I really enjoyed the gesture by Travis Ford to start Elliot Wilmer. This poor kid was a good player, and he was going to be a really good player for SLU. He really was. 6'10", skill. But the poor kid has been more cursed than Bill Walton when it comes to foot injuries. I think it may be 3 or 4 times he's had a broken foot. So they start him last night. He's running up and down the floor, has a turnover, misses layup, and Travis had to pull him. But it's a shame. So it's a miserable beginning. It really is. And you're thinking, oh, goodness, this is going to be terrible. What's it going to be like on senior night after the game, after getting beat? Then Tremaine Isabel took over. I mean, the Billikens could have been blown out in the first half. And he just took over. He's been their best player now for a few weeks, maybe a month. And last night, he was one of the best players in America. His 39 points were the most scored by a Billiken ever at Chavis Arena. He should have been in the 40s, but he missed a few late. Doesn't matter. He won the game for them. He has played great for them. And as I have been saying, they don't have depth, but they have a really good 4 or 5-some, or 6-some with Fred Thatch. And this guy, Isabel, can make it interesting for you in Brooklyn. This team just has refused to throw in the towel. That's a good victory last night. Let's hear from Travis Ford after the game.
I'm sitting here, 19 wins, 10 wins. We've improved every year. You know, obviously we took over a pretty tough situation 3 years ago, to say the least. And to go through all and, you don't even know half the stuff. I mean, it's been a challenge. It's been a 3 years, just been a challenge. And it's been a challenge this year to be sitting here with 19 wins and 10 wins and more to go, hopefully. I'm really proud of this team. Really proud of this team. Very proud. And, you know, at some point they could have felt sorry for themselves and said, well, we only got 5 people, 6 people practicing, or we can go through this. We lost it. You know, we can make a lot of excuses. But, again, sitting here with a lot of wins and 10 wins in league play and hopefully going to try to get to 11.
Win at St. Bonaventure on Saturday for win number 20, and then take your chances in the A-10 tournament in Brooklyn next week. All right, lap three. Mizzou. You know, I used to go to the old Westminster off Ladue Road. It's now a Ladue school. Maybe it's like a learning center. Maybe it's like a 5th or 6th grade. I don't know what it is. And Dom used to shoot with this young man from Whitfield. They used to work out together. And I was always amazed that this, like, 13 or 14-year-old kid, who had the height of a 5-man, a center, I was always amazed he had all these ball skills, like dribbling through chairs and jump stops and three-pointers and just all this skill for all that size. And he had all this range. I just think, boy, I haven't seen a kid with this kind of range this young since I saw Brad Beal when he was that age. Big kids shouldn't be able to do that either. Well, Torrance Watson did. And then he goes out and has one of the most prolific careers in St. Louis prep history for Mike Potsu at Whitfield. So he goes to Mizzou, and early on he just plays like a freshman. He really does. And that Illinois game, he got these open looks back home, just kept missing them. Boy, that's not the Torrance I know. It's not the Torrance we've seen for years. But that's what freshmen do. They struggle. Look at the first half of John Sunvold's freshman year at Mizzou. Like, maybe the best shooter in Mizzou history. And, man, he wasn't making shots. Well, Torrance Watson is not lacking in confidence anymore. He had 20 points on Saturday. And then last night at Georgia, he follows it up with 17. And there was a stretch there where he couldn't miss. Ball wasn't touching the rim. His range is limitless. He's long. He plays hard. He's a great kid. Hey, forget the present for Mizzou, which is bleak. Imagine being able to trot out next year Mark Smith, who's leading the SEC in shooting, three-point shooting before he got hurt. Drew Smith, who averaged 13 points a game at Evansville. And Torrance as shooters on the wings. Pickett is a slasher. All those fine recruits coming in, they can find a way to get Jeremiah consistent. Maybe reports of Mizzou's demise are greatly exaggerated. Watson gives you hope, but he better be good because there's going to be a new SEC school that's going to be really good in the very near future. That's the team they beat last night who scored 39 points, Georgia. Tom Crean will get it going there. He's got a top 10 player coming in. He's got great recruits. Rick Barnes will reload at Tennessee. Avery Johnson, John Calipari. And they just got teams in that conference. All right, lap four. So we played a hit and run with the Red Baron yesterday, the great Red Berenson. What a gentleman, what a player, one of the greats in Blues history. And I still can't believe that during our hit and run segment, this question and answer went like this. You're starting a franchise. Any player in hockey history, they're all age 22. Who do you start yours with?
John Beliveau.
Wow. Think about that for a second. Now, believe me, John Beliveau was a special player. He had 507 goals, and his name is on the Stanley Cup 17 times. Seven, I think, as an executive. But we're talking as a player, starting a franchise, everybody's healthy and age 22. Isn't the top three not debatable? No, the order could be debatable. But Gretzky, Orr, and Howe. And I think many people would put Bobby Orr first if he was healthy. But then there's Mario, and then there's Messier. That's probably four and five. Or and you could even go a goaltender like Glenn Hall. Interesting call by Red. Who would it be for you? Everybody is healthy in age 22 in NHL history. And you get them for, say, 7 years. I mean, wouldn't it have to be Gretzky or Orr? I could understand Gordy, but John Beliveau? And you have to remember that Red did grow up in that Canadiens organization. And they just kept winning championships. And Beliveau was an unbelievable player. All right, lap five. If we do that in each sport, everybody healthy in age 22, who you start your franchise with, I think in the NBA, you'd go Michael, and then maybe you could make an argument for the trio of centers. Wilt, the most dominating offensive player ever. Russell, the greatest winner in team sports history. And Kareem, who, oh, by the way, is the all-time leading scorer with six MVPs, six world championships, and three NCAA titles. Anybody argue that, Plowsy?
LeBron?
Bron would be a good one.
I don't think I'd put him ahead of Michael.
No, I'd put him ahead of the centers.
Yeah, because he could play center in this league.
Yeah, in this league he could.
Yeah, I guess that's the other element is, I guess. Are we putting them in this era today? Because LeBron, I think, would be maybe right up there with Michael in terms of who you're picking.
Well, he wouldn't be first. You could make a case for him second, but I don't know. I think I may go Kareem. He's got twice as many championships, twice as many MVPs. Tough call. All right, in football, everybody's healthy in age 22. I think I'd go Tom Brady, Jim Brown, Joe Montana. Jerry Rice is the best ever at his position, but receivers just don't have the impact that quarterbacks do.
Man, Lawrence Taylor will be a tough one.
It's got to be quarterback, though, right?
It has to be. Yeah, I was trying to think outside the box.
So it's got to be Brady.
Yeah.
Montana's 4-for-4.
Yeah, I think it's Tom.
I mean, Jim Brown's probably the greatest player ever, but, I mean, if you're starting a franchise.
On the shelf life of running backs, yeah. It's so tricky. Even Jim Brown's career was kind of not super long.
9 years. Of course, that was his idea.
True.
He walked off the set and went on the... He walked right onto the set of the Dirty Dozen. All right. Baseball. Whoa. I think it has to be Babe Ruth, but I'd say Willie Mays and Hank Aaron would be right there. I remember Ruth could pitch for you once a week.
Oh, baseball's a little tough.
Now, look, if you're not drug testing... Bonds or A-Rod would have
I'm
to
taking
be...
Barry Bonds. Even him on the Pirates early on in San Francisco,
well,
he's
wait
a stud.
Okay, his overall numbers are probably better than Aaron's and May's. But if you just take his stats in Pittsburgh as opposed to Willie Mays, and Mays was a slightly better defender because he had an arm, although Bonds won gold gloves.
I mean, Bonds was... almost a 40-40 player in Pittsburgh. In 92, he had an OPS plus of 204.
I'm taking Bonds, and it's hard for me to take a player I haven't watched. It's easier for me to take a Bond because I've watched him almost his whole career.
What were like Bonds' home run totals and RBIs in Pittsburgh?
Well, his early career, so 16-48 in his rookie year, 25-59 his second year, 24-58 his third, 19-58 his fourth. 1990 is when it picks up. 33 in this year, 25 season.
Okay.
33-114, 25-116, and then his last year in Pittsburgh was 34-103 with an OPS of 1.040. He led the National League in runs, walks, on base, slugging, OPS, and then, of course, OPS.
Dude
plus.
Is a machine.
That's pretty good.
I think he's a good choice. Cool. I would argue Griffey Jr., too.
Yeah.
Of course, we are saying healthy in age 22.
Yes.
And he is my favorite player.
We wouldn't say healthy in age 32.
No,
that
no,
would
no,
be
no.
A contradiction in terms with him.
Right, two different players.
Just for the heck of it, give me Mays about 5 or 6 years of Mays.
Start with Mays at 25 then.
All right.
Let's make it relatively even. 36-84, 35-97, 29-96, 34-104, 29-103. Then 40-123. That was his age 30 season.
Okay.
And then if you want to argue defense,
really
I mean
wrong?
Center field versus left,
in
favor of Mays, but still pretty dynamic.
All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. Now, I say this as a father of a female athlete and who coached girls sports and went to a gazillion girls games. I love women in athletics, okay? But with that said, I think the Missouri State High School Activity Association gets this wrong. They try to be fair, and they have the girls' game be the first game 1 year, and then they flip-flop it and have the boys' game be the first game the next year. So this year, it's been the boys' game. I don't think it serves the right... I don't think it's a good idea. Because here's my take. Is all of these boys' games... are absolutely packed. And I think it's kind of embarrassing that the boys' game ends at 7:30 and then a big, huge percentage of the audience leaves and then the girls' game takes place.
Doesn't SLU do this every now and again where they'll play a women's game right before the men's game on like a weekend?
They do that once in a while.
Yeah, just and for the same reason. The women's game plays first, and they hope that, let's just say, even in the second half, more people start coming in to watch them play.
Well, our high school
That's
did.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
And so what you do, Brian and Plowsy, is you get a packed house for the women's game in the second half. or the third, you know, fourth quarter or something.
Yeah, usually the halftime of the women's game, the varsity men will come down to the court, do a shoot around, even like pass to the female. So it's kind of incorporating, you know, everybody should cheer for, you know, both male and female teams. So I like that aspect.
Yeah, sure. And like, so it happened the other night when I was at Kirkwood. Everybody left after St. Mary's game was over. And then last night, the Francis Howell game. A big chunk of the audience left, and the girls play. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. I know what they're trying to do, trying to be fair, Title IX-ish and everything. I don't know. And I'm not being critical of the Missouri State High School Activity Association. They're trying to do the right thing. I just don't think it's a great idea. I'd love to get a reaction on that. All right. Ben Fred is around the batting cage yesterday in Tampa, and he runs in to my favorite all-time athlete, Reginald Martinez Jackson.
Long drive right field, it is.
Goodbye.
A big, big World Series for Reggie Jackson, despite all the palaver about his discontent with Billy Naughton as he comes up with his third home run of the series. Hard shot right field, it's gone. Oh, what a World Series for Reggie Jackson.
Goodbye.
I love the way Howard just took over that broadcast. Keith Jackson's on the play-by-play. Howard, can you lay off just a moment? So anyway, as you may know, Jackson is the most quotable athlete I think I've ever heard or read. Just unbelievable. I mean, he would like tell, you know, big scrums of writers, dot the I's, put a period at the end of the sentences, start the next paragraph. Let's go, boys, let's go. So Ben Fred got him in a chatty mood because Reggie is a huge fan of Paul Goldschmidt. And he said, he's too good. He's too good. He plays every day. He plays 155 games. He hits 30, drives in 110 to 115. He hits 295 to 300. This guy, go to Baseball Reference. And then this is why Reggie is Reggie. Look at the games played. Those are numbers that Pete Rose, Hank Aaron, Derek Jeter, those kinds of guys posted, or Reggie Jackson, end quote. And as Ben writes, his perfectly executed humble brag behind him, Jackson rolled on. Oh, he is just the greatest. He used to say, it's part of the magnitude of being me. Or the only part of my body is when I turn on, the only problem with my body is when I turn on my 9,700-yard dash speed and I tend to pull a hamstring. Oh, God, he's just the best. He says, I'm going to watch Goldschmidt. And then he really says some great things, too. He says, the Cubs have to play good now, and they're going to play good. They had a bad year last year. They have some youth that can get pissed off with a lot of high energy. They've got players, they've got a manager, they've got great ownership. They're embarrassed by last year. But the Cardinals are the Cardinals. They're the second most in baseball with championships, second to us. And now they've got a player. He makes them an absolute contender. They just need to pitch and follow his lead. Reggie Jackson. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours if you'd like to be a part of the program. Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. Before we go to break, quick word about the Bomarito Automotive family. They sponsor the show content of this program. Go to bomarito.com, and you can go through their extensive inventory of new cars and pre-owned cars. They are in your neighborhood. 20 new car locations for the Bomarito Automotive family. We'll take a break when we come back. The awesome one, Earl Austin Jr.